Book of James, chapter 1. We're going to read verse 2, 3, and 4 this morning. We started a series last Sunday. We're going to go through the book of James. We call the series Monday Morning Christianity. Monday Morning Christianity, because we have a religion that works. Monday is a work day, right? Sunday is kind of, it's the weekend. It's our day off. Monday's the day we go to work, right? We have a religion that gets stuff done, that works in our life. It's not just for show on Sunday. It's not just that we show up on Sunday and we look good and we sound good, we say the right things, we do all the right actions, put on our church clothes. It's that Monday morning, things happen. And we serve the Lord and we get to work on Monday. And we have a relationship with God that's just not just about show. And there's some people that their whole life is just show. Their whole relationship with God, it's all about show. That nothing true has ever happened in their hearts. And it's in Sunday morning, right? There's churches meeting all across the world. And there's a lot of people that are in churches that don't know Jesus Christ, that it's just for show. It's just all on the outside. And if that's you this morning, that needs to change. And Jesus Christ can change you on the inside. If you come to Jesus Christ and you trust in him, he washes your sins away, and he doesn't just make you look better, he changes you. It's not just on the outside. And this is what the book of James is about, the practical nature of Christianity. And so we're going to talk in James chapter 1 this morning about trials. All right, so starting in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let's start with prayer. Lord, we do thank you that we can be here this morning. Lord, we are thankful that you're a God that works in us. Lord, that it's not just a religion that's on the outside, but it's something on the inside. It's a relationship with you. Lord, as we talk about trials this morning, Lord, we want you to teach us. Lord, we're going as individuals, we're all going through difficulty in life. Lord, there's something you want to do through that. And Lord, we pray that you would remind us of that this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So here's the thought from these three verses. As we read verse 2 and then into verse 3, the thought is this that James is communicating. He's saying, you need to be really happy when you find yourself surrounded by trials because it's a chance for you to have patience. Right? Just be really excited when a bunch of trials come into your life because you can have patience. And I read that and go, what am I missing? What am I missing out of this? Like, why am I supposed to get excited? Why should I rejoice, count it all joy, in trials? Because I get to have patience of all things, right? Why should I get excited about this? What am I missing? There's a lot of things in life that I get excited about. There's a bunch of things I don't get excited about. One of the things I get excited about is when I go to like a party in the summer and they have hot dogs there. Now, I don't get super excited. I don't want to be weird about it. But I get a little excited, right? Because I enjoy hot dogs. And some people don't get it. They go, have you ever seen them made? And I'm like, yes, I've watched the video. I don't care. They're like, have you tasted them? And I go, yeah, I've tasted them. I get a little bit excited about hot dogs. And there's a lot of people who go, why would you pick that over a hamburger? Right? But I don't know. I enjoy hot dogs, and so I get excited about that. There's a lot of things, though, that I see other people get excited about that I don't understand. Erica's family, they get excited about coleslaw. Again, not a lot, but, you know, they enjoy having it. And Erica's mom makes the coleslaw that they all like, right? So when it comes out at, like, a supper, they're like, oh, coleslaw, and they get excited about it. I hate coleslaw. I've never liked coleslaw. And they're always like, oh, you got to try it. Her mom makes it a different way. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to try it. I've stood firm for however many years, right? I don't understand why they get excited about that. I don't understand why people get excited about coffee. I don't drink coffee, but, you know, people get really excited. You guys get really excited about coffee. I go, I don't understand. Pumpkin spice, that's coming up. Doesn't matter to me, right? I could go without having any pumpkin spice flavor or scent and be perfectly fine. But some people are like, yeah, fall, pumpkin spice, can't wait, let's start early. There's just a lot of things that people get excited about that we go, I don't get it. This is one of them, right? Where James is like, hey, let's be excited, let's rejoice, because we get a chance to have patience. Yes, our life is difficult and it's hard, but boy, patience, right? That makes everything better, and why can't we rejoice? And we go, I don't understand that. What is so great about patience, right? What is so great about patience that we can rejoice? It's like someone who gets excited on the highway when they see brake lights. They're like, brake lights, yeah, traffic. You go, what? Why are we excited about this? But the Lord's telling us that there is something we're missing in all of this, in trials and the chance to have patience. There's something valuable that is here in patience, in the midst of trials. If this was just a person saying this, we could write it off as like, oh, they just got bad taste, you know, or they're crazy, or, you know, they've got some screws loose or something, right? There's something wrong with them. Or we could say they're just faking it, right? They don't actually enjoy this. They're just pretending, right? But it's not just a person who's telling us that we need to rejoice and count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations because there's a chance to have patience. It's not just James, it's God himself. It's the Lord telling us there's something to be excited about in this. There's a reason to have joy and a reason to rejoice. And what I want to do this morning is take some time to look at what trials are and why they're so valuable for us. And then what we need to do to get the most out of them, to get the most out of the things that we're going through in our life. The word patience here, it means like endurance or perseverance. It's the idea of like being faithful to Jesus Christ, not giving up on him, not quitting, not throwing in the towel when things get difficult. If you look in James chapter 5, he mentions the same concept again, James chapter 5 and verse 11. It says, behold, we count them happy which endure. Again, the same thing. You have heard of the patience of Job, and I've seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But it's got that idea, endurance, like persevering in the midst of trials. There's a reason why patience and patient endurance is difficult to get excited about, and that's because it's always found in the midst of a bunch of trials, right? That's the context of being patient, is that there's something that's really annoying and really frustrating that you're dealing with. And it's when we find ourselves surrounded by these things, that's where patience is found. And he says that in verse James chapter 1, verse 2. Count all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. All sorts of things. When life is hard and when life is difficult, when you're surrounded by these circumstances, that's where patience, that's where endurance is found. Now, it's said to be found in both in verse 2 in temptations and then also in trials, where verse 3 says the trying of your faith worketh patience. Temptations and trials. And the Lord uses this, like, both of those words for the same idea, right? Both temptation and trial, it's talking about the same, like, same sort of circumstances, the same events, the same situations. But they are different things. Temptations and trials are different things, and I think we need to understand that. Every difficulty that we go through brings us to a fork in the road, right? And we've got two directions we can go in the middle of that trying circumstance, in the middle of that difficulty, in the midst of that suffering. There's two different directions we can go. One direction in the midst of difficulty is the path of temptation, right? A temptation to sin. And temptations are not from God. They're an enticement to sin. If we look at a little bit ahead in James chapter 1, down in verse 13, I don't want to get ahead of myself in the series, but verse 13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then it goes on to talk about the results of that. But it's this pull to do wrong. And we've all felt that, haven't we, in the midst of trials. This pull in the midst of difficulty to kind of just stop trusting God, to quit on God, to say, I've prayed about this and it seems like nothing's happening. I'm just going to stop. I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to get things done. It can be a pull toward like bitterness at God and anger at God for allowing this and for putting us through this and for God seemingly not to have done anything in the midst of that. We face this in the midst of trials. When you're suffering and when things are going wrong, we have that path presented to us that in our flesh, we feel like we should just like abandon God and walk away and just say, forget that. I'm not going that direction. I'm going to go in this direction. I'm going to fix things myself. I'm going to leave it to myself. I'm going to be upset at God. And we have that path that's presented to us. That's the path of temptation. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's the problem. Our flesh doesn't like patience. Our flesh doesn't like enduring and persevering. It wants the quick way out. It wants to take the easy path, and it'll be there. That path of temptation. That's one side, right? One path we can take in difficulty. But with every temptation, there is always another path, right? This is what we're promised in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Right? So with every temptation, God promises there's always another path. There's always another direction you can take. This is the path that we would label a trial, right? A test of our faith, where our dependency on Christ, our faithfulness to Christ is tested. How faithful are we going to be? What's it going to take for us to walk away from God and turn from Him and trust in ourselves? What's it going to take? This trial. I want you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 27. Go back there with me. Proverbs chapter 27. We're going to look at verse 21. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 21. It says, as the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. You know, there's an illustration in Scripture of a trial being like this, this purifying process, like the gold goes through in the furnace and silver is as it is heated up. And there's this fire that is put to these metals, and it's done for a reason, isn't it? It's to purify them. It's to clean off all that, all the imperfections and impurities that are there. And it's through that trial that a better product is produced. And a trial is a chance for us not only to prove the quality of our dependence and our faith in Jesus Christ, but to improve the quality. It's a strengthening process. It's a growing process. It's a maturing process that we come out the end of that trial better than when we went in. That God has done something through this as we have persevered and as we have endured through this. And this is from God. Temptation is not from God. It's from Satan. It's our flesh. Trial, that's from God. That's God saying, all right, we're going to go through this time because we're going to do some work on you. We're going to do some intense maturing and intense growing in your life through this. But it's up to us, isn't it? Which path we choose. Patience is us choosing the path of testing, the path of trial. Say, I'm not going to do the path of temptation. I'm going to walk with God through this. I'm going to trust in God, and I'm going to let God do something in my life through this. Trial or temptation, it really depends on us. It depends on what we do. It depends on whether we are patient and whether we endure. Only one of those paths is beneficial. Only one of those paths is rewarding. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6 and 7. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Patience is us choosing the path of faithfulness to God. Say, yes, it's going to be hard and it's going to be difficult, but I'm going to stay faithful to God, resisting the pull to turn against God, to walk away from Him. It is us, in a sense, flexing our faith and saying, I'm going to be strong in my faith, trust in God, and walk with Him. But the joy in all of this, if we're back in James chapter 1, the joy in all of this is what lies at the end of patience's path. If we patiently endure, and if you look down in verse 4, the trying of your faith worketh patience, verse 3. Verse 4 says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. faithful endurance through difficulty works to make us more like Jesus Christ. If you go to your local pharmacy, you'll find that they have shelves that are stocked with all different sorts of vitamins and minerals that you can take, right? They've got vitamin A and vitamin B, and then there's like all the Bs, like B, and then all the numbers, right? All the different B ones. There's vitamin D, and did I say C? That one's in there too. Vitamin E. There's a K. Vitamin K. Who knows what that does? There's potassium, iron, magnesium. Is that one of them? Gold? No, I don't think that's one. Right? I don't. They got all the vitamins and minerals, right? And they all do their things, right? So you can, if you want, go there and buy just a bottle of one specific vitamin. You can say, I need some vitamin, you know, K. Again, I don't know what that does, but you're like, doctor says I need some more vitamin K. So you get that one. You get a bottle that has pills that are just that vitamin. Or you're like, I need more iron, so I'm going to get iron pills. Just take that. Or, this is my thinking, you just get the multivitamin. That way you get all of them, right? We're covered on all our bases. If I'm missing something that I don't know about, this multivitamin is going to take care of it. Now, maybe I just don't know how vitamins work. I don't know. But that's my thought, right? Let's just get the multivitamin, and then it'll cover everything. And this is what patience is, right? Enduring through trials, it says it's this sort of like thing that God uses to do a lot of different things so that we are perfect and entire and complete, wanting nothing, right? So that all of these things are filled in our life. And I want to take some time. We're going to look at a number of different passages, so I'm going to have you turn a little bit. But what I want to see in each of these is what endurance does, what patience produces in our life. Here's the first one. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You know what it does? It helps us be compassionate. That's what God does through patience. He puts us through things, and then he allows us, as we stick with God through that, he works this sort of empathy and compassion toward other people, because we've been there. You've been through those things. And you who have been through things have a special sort of compassion on people who are going through the same thing or similar things to what you've gone through, because you've been there. And you've come out the other side, having walked with God through that trial, saying, I know what they're going through. I know what they're feeling. I know what they're experiencing. And I'm going to reach out and help them. And God uses trials to make us more compassionate. Or maybe before we would look at them and go, they'll be fine. You know, they're okay. You know, and we kind of just brush it off. But having been through it, we have a different perspective on it. Here's another one. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. No, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. Same chapter, verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver us, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Endurance strengthens our faith. When we have to go through trials, it really, if we stick with God, it, like, our faith is just strengthened in that. Our faith gets this, like, this stubbornness and this determination. Do we say, I'm gonna just stubbornly trust in God? And that determined faith grows stronger and stronger in this, because it's been tested. It's been tried. We have faced that path of temptation that says, don't trust in God anymore. Nothing's happening. Go your own way. Take care of it yourself. Depend on yourself or someone else. And we've looked that temptation in the eye and we said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stubbornly choose to trust in Christ. And those decisions made in the furnace of affliction, they strengthen our faith. They give us a determined faith. Now I want you to turn back to 2 Chronicles. If you go back here, here's another one. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. in verse 12. There's two here in this verse. This is speaking about King Manasseh, one of the kings of Israel. And I'm not going to go into all the background of what he was going through, but we'll just read verse 12. It says that when King Manasseh was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. Humility, endurance, and patience and trials, it brings about a humility. It really confronts us with our weakness and how unable we are to do things, right? Because when life is going fine and we're handling things, we're like, I've got this under control, I can take care of things. But when we're faced with something that we cannot handle, that we cannot deal with, that we don't have the answers to, we're reminded again just how frail and how weak we are. And it really puts everything in perspective, how great God is and how weak we are. And it brings this humility that people have who have gone through trials and have really just had to cast themselves upon God, say, there's nothing I can do, I only have God. It brings about a real deep humility. But also in this verse, it talks about him beseeching the Lord his God. Endurance brings about an earnestness in prayer, where again, we have no choice but just call out to God and pray and put everything on him. And that frequency in prayer and that urgency in prayer that comes through difficult times, it's different, isn't it, than when everything's going fine. And yes, maybe we're still praying and we should when everything's fine, but you know how it is, right? It's different when things are really pressing and when things are really difficult in life, that the prayer life is just different. And it brings about a real fervency in prayer and a real closeness in your time with the Lord. Here's another one. Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we're going to read verse 49 and 50. I'm taking time to go through all of these because I want to show you what James was saying, what God was telling us, that there's so much value, there's so much to be learned, there's so many ways that we can grow if we're just patient and endure in difficulty. Psalm 119, verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. And during a trial, it causes us to value Scripture more, to really put a priority upon it, and to find the comfort that Scripture brings, the reassurance, because it reminds us about who God is. It reminds us what God has done, what God can do, all the promises that he's given to us. But it's this special relationship that we can develop with Scripture through trials. Where again, we just go to the Word of God in a desperation, saying, Lord, I need hope. I need comfort. I need you to help me. I need you to encourage me through Scripture. Show me what to do through your Word. And we seek God through his Word in a special way. Go to 1 Kings chapter 8. Two more. 1 Kings chapter 8. Verse 35. First Kings chapter 8 and verse 35. This is Solomon's prayer. So as he's praying, he says this, verse 35, when heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way when they should walk, and give rain upon thy land, when thou hast given to thy which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. When we go through stuff, when we go through like trials in life that fall under the category of chastening, that it's been brought about because of what we've done and our bad decisions and our sin, that affliction teaches us really about repentance, what it really is to turn from our sin. And to have that attitude of sorrow and grief over our sin, understanding what we've done against God, and then really turning from that sin. Sometimes we confess our sin and our repentance is not entirely genuine. and it's not entirely settled. It's more like we know we're supposed to, we know we're supposed to when we confess our sin, really turn from that sin, but it's not entirely complete. But it's in those times of affliction where we understand that we've brought this on ourselves, that we understand what real repentance is, turning from our sin. And here's one more, Psalm 119. Last one, Psalm 119 and verse 67. And again, this is in the same sort of category as the previous one. Well, Psalm 119 and verse 67 says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." It teaches us about obedience. Like going through trials and those that are come about from our sin, they teach us what it is to really obey and to keep the word of God, the value of obeying to be right with God. And you know, those are the ones that I found in Scripture. We could probably find more examples from Scripture of different things that God can teach us and ways that we can grow through trials. We could also go around this room and hear testimonies from people who have gone through things in their life. And you could tell things that you've learned, ways that God changed you and how because of what you've gone through, you're different than you were before. That God worked something in your life, that he chiseled off some of the rough edges of your life. Are trials the only way to grow and the only way to learn? No. Well, they are a really good way. They're a good way to learn a lesson that really sticks with you, that really is pressed deep into your heart. They're incredible teachers, and it's learning under pressure where those lessons stick with you and those lessons really, really stay. And this is why in James it talks about, and in other places where it talks about rejoicing in tribulation, rejoicing in the work that God is going to accomplish. That if we are just patient through these trials and through these tribulations, patience is going to have our perfect work. They will be perfect. They will be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. This needs to be our perspective on the trials of life. It's not that we take joy in the suffering itself. It's in the pain and in the sorrow. It's not even that we would. That we would go through things and it's not that we would never look back and say, I wish it hadn't happened, or I wish I hadn't gone through that, or I wish things had been different. We can even look at it and say that and say, I wish this hadn't been a part of my life. But it's also the part of it where we can say it did, and I'm thankful that God did something through it. I'm thankful that it wasn't entirely pointless, but that God did something, that God worked in my life. And I can rejoice in that. I may look at it and go, I wish it had never been a part of my life. But because it was, I'm at least thankful and rejoicing in what God did through it. That he changed me, that he worked in my heart through it. And I think this is what Jesus Christ was saying when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's facing the cross. And as he prays to his Father, he says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But then he says, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Right? He looked at it and said, I wouldn't want this to be part of what I'm going to go through, but he says, I know there's a reason for it. And there's something that's going to be accomplished through that. And that was the gospel. It was our salvation that he accomplished through that. For the joy that was set before him, as Will read, he endured the cross. He endured that suffering and that pain for the joy that was set before him. This is what James is saying. Rejoice. There's a joy that's set before you in all of these trials that you go through. When God chooses for us the path of suffering, we can find joy and thankfulness in who we've become in the midst of that trial. Job is known for the trials that he endured. I believe we're going to talk about Job this evening, tonight. But in Job chapter 23, Job says this, "He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Right? And Job looked at it and said, I'm going through this intense trial. He says, when he has tried me, I'm going to come forth the other side as gold. The very next verse, which is one we don't always read, he says this, my foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. That's why he knew he would come out the other side purified. Because he says, my foot is not going to decline from his way. I'm going to patiently endure. This was Job's attitude in this trial. That's why he could say, that when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That's why in James chapter 5 and verse 11, it says, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen, what's the next part? The end of the Lord, right? We've seen the end, what God accomplished in Job. That's why we count them happy that endure, not because they go through trials, because they come out the other end different, because of what God has done through that. This is why we count it joy when we fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So we'll end with this thought, with these thoughts. How do we make the most then out of trials? If we're going to go through trials and suffering in our life, how do we really get the most out of these? And there's two verbs here in our passage. There's the verb count, and then there's the verb let in verse 4. So count in verse 2, and it tells us two things. Verse 2, where it says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Number one, it's telling us, anticipate what God is going to do. Anticipate. Count it all joy. It says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, not just after the temptations. When you fall into diverse temptations, that's when you start counting it joy. That means we've got to anticipate some things. We've got to anticipate and look ahead at what God is going to do. Going into those with hopefulness in God working on us. And this isn't a joy. When we talk about joy and anticipating, it's not a joy that replaces sorrow. It's a joy that goes alongside sorrow. Because there can be grief in suffering and in trials. But it's a joy that goes hand in hand with that because of two different perspectives on it. But it's a joy that comes from knowing what God can do if we endure. This is the perspective we need to have in our trials. Often our perspective is one of, it can be one of complaining, right? I like to complain. I like getting sympathy, you know? I have a new theory, though, on complaining. My new theory is this. Oh, that's not a joke. It's serious. I heard some people laugh. Sometimes my theories are. But anyways, here's my theory. People who don't complain are happier than the people that do. That's my theory. People who don't complain are happier than people who do it. And here's why. It's not that people who don't complain have less to complain about. It's that they've chosen not to make it a big deal in their life. Right? It's like, I've got things I could complain about, but I'm just going to move on. Right? And I found in my life that there's things I like to complain about, and if I make a big deal out of them, they become a big deal. Right? Even if I do it in a joking way, I found. Like, I was like, I was going to be kind of joke about these things and complain about them. It's still, it's like it takes up a lot of space in my mind, right? And I'm just thinking about it more. So if we don't complain, right, it makes us happier because we've said, you know, I'm going to move on from those things. But often this is our response in trials, in suffering, is I'm going to, it's like we just complain about things. And the Bible says do all things without murmurings and disputings, right? Don't complain about those things. But that's often what trials become to us, is one more reason to complain. One more thing to talk about all the time with our friends and always bring up, right? That's often what we view trials as. Sometimes our perspective in trials is, how can I end this as fast as possible, right? How can I go through this as quickly as possible? That's not always a bad thing, right, to end things. But that can't be our only focus. All of these can be steps to turning it into a temptation, right? When our focus is not right in these trials, when our perspective is off, it's heading us toward that path of temptation where we're going to just end up giving up on God and no longer trusting in Him and quitting on Him, right? So there needs to be this anticipation of what God is able to do, because it turns then our attention from ourselves to God. It turns our attention from everything that's going on to what God is doing, what God is going to be working in our life. And it turns our attention to His plan and His power and who God is. So count it all joy. Like, anticipate what God is going to do in this. But there's another instruction, and that's in verse 4. Because we anticipate knowing that the trying of our faith is working, right? It's working patience. Verse 4, and then it says this. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let patience have her perfect work. So I'm going to put it this way. Number two, participate. Participate with what God is trying to do. Let patience have her perfect work. Let endurance do its thing. Don't interfere. We interfere and we obstruct the work of patience when we just stop doing it. When we stop being patient. When we start trying to do things our own way. When we give up and don't give God a chance to work in our life. There's a time element to all of this, isn't there, with patience? Right? Patience is not a fast thing. That's impatience. Patience is a long thing. Right? It's as long as it takes many times. And patience doesn't get the job done, but patience will. I remember several years ago, my dad bought Matt a rock tumbler for Christmas. I don't know if any of you had a rock tumbler, but it was the National Geographic brand. So it was a nice one. So we get that thing, and we're looking through the instruction book for this. And it's talking about, well, it's got pictures, you know, on the front of like polished gems and like beautiful rocks. And we're like, oh, that's cool, right? To have like these nice rocks. I'm like, I can go find treasure in the backyard. I probably have rocks out there that are really valuable. You know, I just, you know, put them through this rock tumbler. I can make like a side hustle. I don't know, but you're right. Like all the pictures of like all the rocks that can come out of this. So we're reading through the instructions. And then it talks about how there's different parts to this process. So there are different grits of sand that you will mix in with this. And so you have different, you'll put like the roughest grit in first, and then you run it. Then you put the second grit in, and then like the finishing and all of this, right? So there's different different stages all along the way. And then we read how long each of these stages was supposed to take. You're supposed to run this rock tumbler on stage one for 3 to 5 days, nonstop. And then you do stage two for another 3 to 5 days. And then stage three for like 3 to 5 days. And I don't know, there might have been more stages. But I looked at that and went, I've got to have this rock tumbler going 24/7 for like 3 days at the minimum, like 5 days at the most. I'm adding this up going, that's 9 days of this thing. I'm pretty sure it's loud. I don't think it's quiet, right? A rock tumbler. I'm picturing like shoes in the dryer, you know, that sort of sound that is going on all the time in my house. I'm also thinking about the electricity. Like, is this like a blow dryer? Like, is it pulling that sort of electricity where I'm going to like see a noticeable difference in my bill, right? Because I'm tumbling these rocks and I have all these things going. I don't know. I feel like we don't have time for this. 3 to 5 days for every single stage. Way too long, right? We returned it. We sent the thing back. We're like, that's just way too long. Listen, endurance, right? This transformation, it takes time. And we've got to be okay with that. We've got to understand that let patience have her perfect work. Participate with what God is trying to do. Don't give up. Don't interfere by turning away from God and going your own path. Stick with God through this. Participate. Do the work of faith. Do the work of getting in the Word of God and praying and strengthening your faith through this. Do that work of constantly reinforcing your faith against the waves of doubt that are trying to erode it away. Walk with God. Be faithful. Participate with what God is trying to do in your life. Anticipate. Count it all joy. Participate. Let patience have her perfect work. Because that's when we encounter all joy, when we fall into diverse temptations. And I wonder if we've missed a certain viewpoint. Because you look at that and go, that sounds a little bit crazy. That in the midst of trials, we have a reason to be excited about it and happy. And maybe we've missed a certain perspective. Maybe we started out with that, but we've lost it. But maybe we just don't have that right focus on what trials can be, what God can do through those. And I want to ask you, what's the difficulty in your life right now? What is it that you're struggling with? What is it that is, it's been very frustrating for you? It's been very annoying for you? Let's let patience have her perfect work. Don't quit on God. God can do something good no matter what happens. No matter what you go through, God can do something profitable. Let's anticipate. Let's participate. You know, Monday morning is right around the corner. And we talked last week about what we wanted our Monday mornings to be. We wanted to be fruitful. We want it to be a visible testimony. and we want it to be pleasing to God. And we said last week that Monday morning is when the work gets done, right? And that's also when things get more difficult, right? We're here at church, we're encouraged, we're in the Word of God, and we have great plans and we decide things, but then Monday morning rolls around and that's when we really have to just go to work. Say, this is what it gets done. All the things that were great on Sunday, now they meet the reality of our situation on Monday. And what sounds good today is going to be harder to put into practice tomorrow. And so what's our perspective going to be on our life when we wake up tomorrow morning? And when we, one more time, we face the things that we're going through. How are you going to look at the trials of your life? And you can complain and you can get frustrated. And from a human perspective, you probably have every right to feel those things and be upset and angry at the things that are going on. But what if we found a reason to rejoice? What if we found a reason to be thankful, to be excited about what God could do? What if we found a bit of a silver lining to the dark clouds in our life? What if we decided we're going to cling to the fact that God is doing something? That in my life, God is trying to work. That there are things God is trying to change. That I can grow through this. I can be different. And if we just hang on to God, we don't lose our faith. We just trust in Him. And we stubbornly say, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep trusting. I'm going to keep walking with God. I'm going to anticipate. I'm going to participate. And I'm going to let God do His work. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to endure. I'm going to walk with God through this. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. So let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let's close with prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for the hope that we have because of you. Lord, if we didn't have you, there would be no hope in the difficulties of life. There'd be no hope in the trials that we face. But Lord, because of you, we know that you can do something good even through the worst of circumstances. Lord, help us to trust you. Lord, and as we face Monday morning and we face the difficulties of the work week and our life and just the reality of the things that we're going through, give us strength, Lord, the strength that we need to walk with you. Lord, strengthen our faith. Help us to trust in you. Lord, help us to just be joyful in all that we go through. Lord, work in our hearts, we pray this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.